time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And our show is brought to you by starlights.com. That's with two R's, starlights.com, and by alternativecancer.us. And both of those sponsors are wonderful people. If you haven't checked them out yet, please do. On Starlights, you will find all kinds of New Age stuff, CDs, DVDs, books, all kinds of interesting little yoga-type things and meditation-type things and incense and jewelry and candles, you know, kind of like the New Age store type of stuff. And it's really, really a lot of fun stuff on there, probably a good amount of which I might have or have bought at some point in my life. And on the alternativecancer.us site, you will find over 1,000 pages now of information about how to deal with various forms of cancer, how to prevent it, how to cure it, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, now we cannot use the word cure because the AMA has copyrighted that. Not that they've ever cured anything, mind you, but anyway, that's kind of the way it goes. Now, my guest tonight is Laura Langstrand, and if you listened at the beginning of the month, then you got to learn a little bit about Psyche and see what it could do for you, and we're going to elaborate on that tonight because I've had a little experience with it. So welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you, Valerie. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. And because we might have some listeners that have not listened to that first show, if you would go into, first of all, your bio. Who are you? Where'd you come from? What's this all about? How'd you get started in this? You know, all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Actually, I'm from New York, and I moved to Sedona in 2000, and I just started going into this, you know, real spiritual quest, and there were some things that I needed to deal with, you know, the programming that I had as a child. And I just tried different modalities and, you know, one after another. As you know, when you search, you find. Mm-hmm. And I actually stumbled upon Psyche when I had IgA deficiency, and my chiropractor said, well, have you heard of Psyche? And I was like, no. He goes, because that's the only thing I can think of that could help you in this situation. And I was like, really? Okay. So I went on the website, looked up workshops, and I just started taking a workshop. And I was working with Larry Balmore, who now is the director, the international director of Psyche, and my mentor. And I worked. I took his class. I took his basic. And then I was so intrigued, I went into the advanced, then I went into the professionals course, and I just could not believe the results that I got from this method that I just basically stopped looking. I was done. This is it. Mm-hmm. This worked for me. So I decided, I was working with my husband at the time. I was the designer in his building company, that I was going to just really focus on this. And it helped me so much, Valerie, that I decided I needed to share this with other people. And so I started working on, aside from myself, I worked on my friends, my family, and then I worked on it for about a year, year and a half before I even considered working with other people and professionally, because I wanted to make sure that I was in a really, really good place before I was to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my story.
Okay. Now if you would explain, what is Psyche?
Psyche is a combination of psychology and kinesiology. So you're doing muscle testing to connect with the subconscious mind to actually shift things, not only on a conscious level, but a subconscious level, because a lot of times you're consciously know, you figured it out, you're reasoning, you know, I understand that, you know, I've forgiven my parents, or I understand I consciously, but there's still pain, there's still anger, there's still resentment when you're thinking about them. So what this technique does is it gets both conscious and subconscious mind on the same page, because once you forgive on a subconscious level, you really, really feel it. And you're an example. I had a session with you. How did you feel when you forgave?
Well, you know, I have been doing self-help stuff since my early 20s. And I have done deep, deep meditation. I've gone down into deep delta and been wide awake. I've done amazing stuff. I've done shamanic work. I've done all kinds of self-help stuff. I've just tried everything in my life, because like a lot of people, my family was fairly dysfunctional as far as how they raised kids. Now, they were not as bad as some people went through. You know, I mean, my parents loved me and all of their kids. They just really didn't know how to raise kids. And so they inflicted a lot of harm unintentionally.
Right.
And,
mean well, but yeah, they go about it the wrong way.
Right, because they had poor examples for themselves, you know. And so I thought about that, you know, when I was a teenager, and I thought, okay, I am never going to have kids because I would probably kill them. You know, they'd never make it to adulthood. And I think that was a very wise choice on my part. And as I went through the years and tried all these different things, I had some things that were just amazing. And I focused on forgiveness alone for over a year. Mm. And when I first went into that, I had people tell me, oh, it's going to take you about a year. I said, that's ridiculous. It's not going to take me a year. It did. It took over a year. And this was after I had already done tons of forgiveness and tons of love and concentrating on harmlessness and loving self, because you got to love yourself, you know, or you can't love anybody else. And so I had gone through all this stuff, all this work, and yet I still had those triggers there that just really hurt. So every time I thought about some instances in my life, even though I had forgiven the person, I understood they didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. I still had an awful lot of pain there that was disrupting my life now. Absolutely. And so when I was listening to Dr. Bruce Lipton speaking about belief systems, and he said, you can change your belief system in 10 minutes, I went, whoa, what?
No, it seems too good to be true, because, you know, yeah, everyone says, oh, you have to go through all this for change. And yeah, this is so quick and easy that people are like, sounds too good to be true.
Well, I'm one of those people that says, well, you know what? Let me give it a try. Let's see what happens. And now I am blessed that I have several physicist friends as well. And one of them is a total wild man. And he has done things in his life that most people think don't even exist. You know, I mean, it's just really wild stuff. And so I was talking with him one day, and he had said, you know, for example, if you wanted to change your gender, all you have to do is change your belief system and your gender will change right in front of somebody's eyes. And I said, well, you know, thank you very much, but I've never wanted to do that. So, you know, that's really not on my bucket list. You know, I don't really care about that. And he said, well, the point is you can change your belief system and change everything. And we had this conversation about how when people that have multiple personalities have a switch in the personalities, their eye color will change, their diseases that they're affected by will change, their personality changes, everything. And so I thought, okay, so if that can happen, and we have well-documented cases of that actually happening, then if that happens, then what is the trigger for that? How does that happen? There must be some trigger that we can find that would create that kind of change in somebody. And so I'm always looking for that. And, you know, for my own life and for others too, because I get people all the time calling me saying, well, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? And, you know, I try to guide them in the right direction. And so I thought, okay, let me investigate this a little bit more. And I got on the PsycheK website, And I read a little bit about it, and I thought, huh, okay, I know that kinesiology works because your body doesn't lie to you. Mm-hmm. And so if you can test your body properly, you'll know, you know, what your body needs or what you need mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever. Your body will tell you. Mm-hmm. So I knew that that was a true thing. And then I was looking, and I thought, let me see if I can find somebody in the area that does this. And I came upon your picture. And being intuitive, I looked at your picture and went, I can work with her. I just knew it right away, you know. So I was like, all right, let me give her a call. And so that, you know, became your invite onto the radio show. Now, listeners, I have to tell you, I've been working with Laura now, what, four times?
Yes.
Okay, so four times. And I have got so much deep stuff within me that has been preventing me from being every bit of myself, despite over 40 years of working on myself diligently. And things have just dropped away now very, very quickly. And when I do the forgiveness on people that I've already forgiven, but I still had the emotional charge there, this is really interesting because you can feel the shift that happens within yourself immediately. Now, lucky for me, I've done all this work beforehand, so I know what it feels like to shift. And I know that it could be auditory, visual, or kinesthetic. Kinesthetic being body feelings. And so I'm able to accept it wherever it comes from, and I recognize it as the shift. If you're not used to that, you might need a little bit of experience with it before you can tell that you've actually shifted. But what I find, what I can say is the most pronounced thing that I notice is that I feel happier inside. And now, mind you, I've done tons of things, including holographic memory resolution, which is what some of Psyche reminds me of. But holographic memory resolution takes some time. And, you know, you have to chase this whole string of things, memories that come along with it. Now, it's great for doing in the office, but you got to have at least an hour. But you can, you know, drop it and pick it up again at the next session. But it's not as quick as Psyche. And so I'm interested in it because, quite frankly, I am tired of being sick and tired. Mm. And of having all the crap that comes into my life. And, you know, in Sedona, it's kind of sad because a lot of people say, oh, you attracted that to yourself. And it's like, oh, grow up. You know, you just want to reach out and slap them upside the head when they say that because they don't really know what they're talking about. They just heard that from somebody.
Exactly.
And the fact is that, you know, when you've worked on yourself and, you know, I've gotten rid of most of the stuff that I used to, quote unquote, attract into my life. However, stuff still happens. And it still hurts you at that deep level, which then can either result in you doing a lot of work to clear it, or it results in you indeed attracting that kind of crap back into your life if you accept it. I don't accept it, but I have seen too much of this stuff impact my life and prevent me from being all that I could be. And so for me, Psyche is very valuable because you're going to the deep level of your subconscious. And you're shaking the hand of your subconscious and you're agreeing on how you're going to change things in your life. And it's all for your best interest. And we actually came across a few things that the body said no, you know, it wasn't ready to clear that. So we had to go clear something else first, which is fine, you know, because, I mean, clearing is clearing. And I'm all for cleansing on every level of your being as often as possible, because the more clear you are, the more miracles and magic you have in your life, because that's coming from a much higher dimension. And it's coming from a space that is more in tune with who you really are without all this overcoat of muck that gets thrown on us from being here in 3D. So that's what I've noticed. Now, what I noticed today, it was quite entertaining. Because not only was I getting the whole visual show, so I was having mind movies, you know, while this stuff goes on, but I was getting a lot of insights. Now, I'm pretty insightful to begin with, and if I'm really confused about something, I just ask my guardian angels or I ask the universe, and, you know, within usually a couple of days, I have the answer. So it was interesting to see these insights popping up about exactly what the problem was. So the one big thing that I really didn't know how to deal with was being abducted by aliens when I was about 3. And, you know, so if you're listening now and you don't believe in aliens, I don't know what to tell you. You know, maybe it was the government, who knows? But I can tell you that it was terrifying. And I was listening to something the other night that really piqued my interest, because it was researchers who have done, you know, research on whatever these UFO abductions are and all that kind of stuff. And they said one of the things they found out is that if you get taken the hard way, it means that they disintegrate your body and reintegrate it back up on the spaceship. And I just kind of sat there and went, oh my God. The things they were talking about, how it felt, I went back to being 3 years old, and I can tell you that what it felt like to me was like I was in the bathtub and these little beings were trying to stuff my little 3-year-old body into the water spout of the bathtub. And it hurt like hell. It was so horrendous. But I couldn't scream because you don't have a body anymore to scream with. And so you're in like this limbo and you're shrieking. You can hear yourself inside, but no sound comes out. And I went right into that while Laura was working with me today. So I don't know if you knew I was screaming, Laura, but my mouth was open and I was doing the silent scream. And then I realized why I wasn't hearing myself scream was because I didn't have a whole body anymore. And then it comes back together on the spaceship, just like in Star Trek, you know, but I had a lot of trauma associated with that. And so I absolutely hated that. And coming back was the same way. It was a rending of every part of yourself. And when you get there, as you're coming back together, you're like a fog of chemicals. And for me, it was a bright white fog. And it was like I was suspended in that bright white fog and it smelled horrible. It was this awful chemical smell. And then I was in a tube. And I started remembering some of this stuff and going, oh my God. That's why I was so terrified when these little things came to get me, because they took me the hard way. They actually took my physical body. And the thing is, this was not a dream, folks. I was wide awake when these things happened, and I was terrified. And I tried to tell my parents. I couldn't wake my parents up at any time when these things came. Nobody ever came to save me. And they were just, you know, a room away. But they never heard me scream. They never heard anything. And probably because they got put to sleep, so they wouldn't object. But as I went through that and healed that and forgave them for doing that to me, it was like, wow, there was this huge shift that was so pronounced within me that it was, I mean, it's hard to even come close to describing it. I don't have the words to describe it.
Relief, and this works great for any trauma that you've been through, you know, post-traumatic, you know, anything. I mean, if you're in the war and you've seen your friends get blown up, or if you were in a car accident, or you witness a death, any kind of trauma, this works fantastic for, because, you know, the reoccurring nightmares, the anxiety, the medication you have to take to just be able to be normal on a day-to-day basis is ridiculous because of this trauma. And if you just do a simple little balance, what does it take? Maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes tops? And you just sit in a specific direction. Your arms are crisscrossed in one direction, your ankles are crisscrossed in another, and you go into this memory. And the memory comes up, and then you feel what you felt, and then all of a sudden it alleviates and it goes away. Mm-hmm. And then when you think back on it, there's no pain associated anymore. It's just neutral. So, yep. And it's incredible because it's just so simple, but then we lock it in to make sure. And the great thing about this is that you always, you can always remember, you know, the death of someone, you'll always remember them. But there's a disconnection of pain. The pain is not there anymore. And like you said, there's a certain amount of understanding that comes in, too. And this
Yeah, that was interesting. And, yeah. You know, particularly in light of the fact that I worked on this with holographic memory resolution years ago, and I didn't get the total insight. What I got was I remembered the trauma, and it took away most of the pain, but I didn't get deep enough into it to really catch that, oh, shit. Well, sorry. I forget we're on live radio sometimes, but it was just difficult with these other methods to come to that point where I had that kind of a revelation where I realized my entire body was just disintegrated and reintegrated. And you know what? It's painful. It really freaking hurts, especially when you don't know what's going on, because first you feel stretched. So if you can imagine taking your entire body and stretching it out a couple thousand times, and then all of a sudden at some point all of your atoms disintegrate, that's what it felt like. It was amazingly painful. And for a little kid to go through that and to not understand, because they didn't explain that to me. Mm. You know, they didn't say, well, it's going to hurt, but it'll be over. No, I didn't get any of that. It was so cold and so, I don't know, just so, you know, non-participatory, you know, on their part. Like, they didn't have any care at all for the fact that I was screaming and I was in so much pain. And so, you know, no wonder I hated those little suckers. You know, I used to be terrified when they'd walk into my room. And, of course, then, you know, you're a little kid, you tell your parents, they say, oh, you were just dreaming. And it's like, but I wasn't asleep. And they go, oh, yes, you were. You were just dreaming. And you're like, are my parents insane or are they part of it? You know?
Yeah.
You get to that point.
How do you feel when you think back on that now?
It doesn't terrify me.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting because, first of all, I didn't even remember that part of it until today. Mm. And then, you know, I didn't associate that with what was actually going on with my body. Mm. But then, you know, being able to forgive those little beings was difficult, but I did that, forgave my parents, you know. And the difference is that I felt something in the middle of my spine that started moving. And it was like right between the shoulder blades. And I thought, oh, there's an implant. And, you know, I mean, I've felt implants before. Pretty much everybody that comes through Sedona gets implanted either by the government or by the, you know, various ET races or interdimensionals or whatever the heck they are.
And you felt this when you were in the balance, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I could feel it there, and that was really interesting because there's so much going on in certain areas in the world. It makes it very easy for these interdimensionals to cross through. And actually, you know, Sedona is it's a hot spot of government activity and the secret government, you know, to test people. You know, it started out, you know, being psychic as a test for the government. So it was like, okay, so what else have they got their hands into? You know, what exactly are they doing? And so for me, you know, I know all that stuff and it's like, okay, you know, no big deal. Half the people that live here know this stuff too. But when you've had these kind of traumatic experiences and they're affecting you for the rest of your life, that's just not right. It's not okay. And, you know, I can tell you as someone who's been into the self-help movement ever since I knew there was such a thing, and maybe before there was that available, I think that we each owe it to ourselves to go forward and to do everything that we can to remove the blockages. So people, if you feel like you've been blocked and no matter what you do, you can't get around that blockage, or maybe there's a glass ceiling over your head and you keep bumping up against the glass ceiling and you're going, man, I'm like, you know, you get into the mime thing, mime in a box, you know,
Yeah. Or you keep going out with the same kinds of people over and over again, mm-hmm. and it's like, why do I keep choosing these losers, or why do I keep, you know, falling into these traps, this relationship, or why can't I make money? Every time I'm about to make money, something happens and it falls apart, and that's mm-hmm. self-sabotage, because on some level, usually the subconscious, you don't feel either worthy of having this money, or there's a fear of having this money. I worked with someone who was an actress, and she was on a very popular TV show back in the 80s, I think. This gal would go into BMW and just put two cars on her car, just like nothing. She had all this money. And now she's struggling with money. And we got to the core of it. And her thing was, she didn't feel unworthy. There was fear. Because when she did have money, she was robbed. When she mm-hmm. did have money, her cars were keyed. When she did have money, she got into a relationship and he stole from her thousands and thousands of dollars. So this, you know, this type of thing will keep you from having money in the future, because your subconscious mind is saying, it's not safe. Don't go there. It's not safe. So therefore, you're always going to stop yourself. Worthiness is another one I mentioned before. It's huge. A lot of us don't feel worthy of having that. Or if you had strict parents, that allowing thing comes in. I'm allowed. I'm entitled. This. Mm-hmm. A lot of us don't feel it's all right. We're entitled. We're allowed, or allowing ourselves. So with talking, I get to like the specific thing. And sometimes there's more than one. There's worthiness and fear. There's worthiness and, you know, you don't have the right, that kind of thing. And a lot of times it'll be one, two, three, you know, sometimes all of those things I mentioned that are keeping you from achieving your goals. And then once we unlock it, then you can just soar. And I've had many people tell me of their success stories, which just fills my heart with joy, and it keeps me doing what I'm doing, because I don't know who's happier, them or me, when I hear stories. And now this gal is doing fantastic. She's editing. She's editing movies for Hollywood now, and it worked great with illnesses. This man had cancer, and he came to me, and he, I have cancer. I'm doing, you know, the cleanses, the coffee enemas, the this, that. He was doing all kinds of things to help clear it, and it still wasn't going away. And one time it went to remission, but then it came back. And so I said, interesting. So I muscle tested him. I want to live. And sure enough, it was weak. Now, mind you, Valerie, if someone is ready to leave, I need to honor that. But mm-hmm. my guess was that he wasn't ready, because why would he be doing, you know, coffee enemas? Why would he be doing all these different things to get better? Mm-hmm. So I said, what is so horrible that you don't want to live anymore? Talk to me. And it wound up being that he got divorced, and the alimony payments were extraordinary that he was paying for his ex-wife was just literally killing him. There was so much anger and resentment every time he wrote that check. And now, Valerie, that's huge when mm-hmm. you're dealing with cancer. Anger and resentment, it eats away at you just like cancer. So I said, is it worth dying over? And he said, no. And I said, well, why don't we start forgiving and letting go? And we worked on, we had a list of things that he needed to forgive her for. He had a list of things that he needed to forgive himself for. Mm-hmm. And once he let all of that go, his body was able to go in a state of homeostasis and heal. And I got an email from him not too long ago, and he said, I'm cancer-free. And I know, I did a lot of modalities, but I know this was tremendous in my healing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, people don't realize there's always a cause. There's an emotional cause of everything we go through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like with cancer, I've been telling people for years, you got to get rid of the anger, guilt, and resentment, or the cancer is never going to heal no matter what you do, because the cause of it was anger, guilt, and resentment. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I never really set out to heal those kinds of cases. I would rather just figure out, you know, what everybody else has missed. You know, that's my thing. And so I'll find these strange things that are going on and figure out how to alleviate those things from different angles. And it works because some are emotional, some are mental, some are just ignorance. Some are terrible things like, you know, horrible anger and, you know, guilt and resentment and things like that. And, you know, so I'll work at it from all these different angles. Because I've done all my own self-help work all these years, I know all these different causes. And so I find that the biggest thing, the greatest thing I can do for patients is to tell them you got to work on the mental, emotional, and spiritual stuff at the same time as the physical. And I find that Psych-K can help you to feel better so quickly. And, I mean, at the very least, it gives you that lightness within yourself where you know something has changed. I mean, even the densest people that don't feel energy can feel that something has changed. And they feel a little bit easier within themselves.
Oh, absolutely. And at first, the first balance, I'll be like, I'm not sure I shifted. And I said, well, as we do a couple more, you'll feel it. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I felt it. Oh, I felt it.
Yeah.
It's a sense of relief.
Yeah.
Now I'll have to explain, well, some people drop their shoulders when they shift. Some people exhale. Some people feel your back just melt into the couch. Some people yawn. And I always say, I'm a yawner, so I'm shifting right along with you here because I'm empathic. And so if you hear me yawning, that's just me shifting right along with you. And those are the beginners. They feel little subtle things like that. But you felt a lot more and you saw a lot more.
Oh, yeah, I get the whole movie. I get the 3D movie.
You do.
And, yeah, I mean, it's really wild, and it comes so fast. Like, I will feel it coming, and then I'll see, like, when I really saw what was going on with these little beings and what I was feeling and why I was so terrified, then it was like, oh. And then the minute I did that, simultaneously I was able to forgive them and to forgive my parents, because they were probably knocked out, and I was able to forgive myself for having carried this around for so long, and all of that happened simultaneously, instantaneously, and hit my heart, and I knew that I had shifted at that point. It was so quick, and it was just, you know, I mean, I can sit and think about it, and I can pull all the pieces apart, and I know exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it all happened instantaneously at the same time.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful stuff. And
yeah.
You know, people come into my office and they say, gosh, you know, oh, I've definitely forgiven her. I've been working on this for years. I've definitely, you know, worked us all out. And I said, well, let's just muscle test and just check for giggles. And, you know, I'll just use, oh, I forgive my mother for not being there for me, as an example. And she'll say that statement, I muscle test, and sure enough, she's weak. So I said, okay, let's work a little bit longer, but it's only going to take a few minutes, I promise. And then the rest of it just comes out. Because a lot of work, most of the work out there, is with your conscious mind. Anger and resentment sits in your subconscious mind, and this connects directly right in there and pulls it right out. And same thing with your beliefs. All your beliefs are stored in the subconscious mind. So if you believe you're the luckiest person in the world, guess what? You're going to be the luckiest person in the world. If you believe you're a loser, your most chances are, you know, you're not going to have good things happen to you. If you believe you're unlucky, there's going to be one thing after another happening to you that's bad luck because you believe this, because your beliefs create your reality. So mm-hmm. This goes in there and changes your beliefs. on a subconscious level. From, oh, I'll never amount to anything, and oh, I'll never get married to a decent guy, to I deserve the best that love and life have to offer. I am valuable as a person. I am worthy. I am precious. These are the things we put in instead of, you know, it's like taking out that old computer chip that no longer serves you and putting in that brand new one that will support you. And all of a sudden, life becomes easy because you're not arguing back and forth between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind anymore. And you're on the same page, and you don't have to think about it anymore. And you don't have to say affirmations in the mirror standing on your head or whatever for it to sink in, because this is my new belief. End of story. And like I said, beliefs create reality, and therefore your whole reality changes. Just by, well, the biggies are loving and accepting yourself and forgiving. Those two things can actually, like, catapult your whole life change. Because they're really, really big stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. And
you know when you've forgiven, because I tell people this, you know when you have truly forgiven, when a sense of understanding comes in, oh, now I know why they did what they did. And
exactly.
Then compassion comes in. Oh, I feel sorry for them, because that was the only way they could survive. You know, this, and that's when you know you have forgiven.
Yeah.
And if you're still feeling a little anger, resentment, not still there.
Uh-huh. Yep, and, you know, it was really interesting for me to go through such big things. Because, I mean, this is stuff that's been going on ever since I have my first memory. And now I don't remember back to being a baby consciously like some people do. But that could be because I was a walk-in. I don't know. I didn't know I was a walk-in. Somebody told me that, and I went, oh, really?
Yeah,
that would explain a few things.
Because if you believe you're a walk-in, then you were a walk-in.
I have no idea. I was like, huh, really? Well, I don't remember being anything but me. So, you know, who knows? But what I do know is that there's a difference deep within yourself that that's so profound that happens. I mean, you know, no matter how dense you are, if you're willing to admit to yourself that something happened, then you will see that something happened. If you believe nothing is going to happen and you're not going to feel anything, then, hey, that's your belief system. That's the way it's going to be, I guess, unless you do this and change that. But, I mean, for myself, you know, I'm very cognizant of what's going on within me. And because I've spent a lifetime training myself to be able to notice this kind of stuff. And so for me, when I feel those shifts, I'm like, wow. I mean, I know what it took to get those kind of shifts with all the other stuff that I've done. And, I mean, I've even gone to the point where I meditated for almost 8 hours. And I did this several days. And I was in full meditation the whole time. And it was pretty interesting. But I did all that stuff in order to get to understand myself better and to understand the universe and our place in it and how it all works and our connection to Source. But I've done all kinds of crazy things in my life to find this kind of stuff too. And so to feel those shifts, I mean, that was big. I mean, you know, if I don't care whether people believe in UFOs and ETs or not. Just imagine if something comes into your room and the people that are supposed to protect you don't come when you scream for help and you are taken against your will and disintegrated and then reintegrated, but your consciousness doesn't get disintegrated. Oh, man. I mean, I don't know if anybody can actually come close to understanding how bad that feels.
And you've been carrying this around since 3?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I mean, literally having your body ripped apart atom by atom. And I mean, I could never even describe to somebody what that felt like, because it's an unbelievably awful feeling. And, you know, it's like when Star Trek came out and I first watched that and they disintegrated people, I kind of got real uncomfortable, you know. And everybody's like, oh, beam me up, Scotty. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. If it could be done painlessly, maybe. And I never thought about what I was saying, because it never occurred to me that that's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah.
But now I look back and I go, oh, yeah. But see, then I didn't know. From a three-year-old standpoint, you don't know that your consciousness is eternal. And you don't know that when this body is gone, you're still there. So, you know, you're integrated with your body. You're totally attached. And then to have it forcibly detached and to feel as all the parts come apart, it's like, wow, that was, I mean, it was long and drawn out, you know.
Oh, and, I can't even imagine. And that's why this technique works really good with PTSD.
Yeah.
And, yeah, post-traumatic stress disorder. And it, you know, anxiety's gone. They can get off their medications. They can just have, like, a feeling of safety. I mean, that's big for a lot of people. I'm safe in the world. I'm safe in my body. When we muscle test, it's so weak. And then we do a balance. And we do a couple of different balances. There's a new resolution balance that you do standing up. You do some cross crawls while looking up and to the left or looking up to the right. And you kind of take any blockages that may be on one hemisphere of the brain or the other with regards to the statement. After that, you hold your arms straight out, and then they will begin to move effortlessly and automatically to the front of your body where they'll meet, and then they come to your body. And, you know, that's just one. And then the other one we do sitting down. I mean, how easy is this? You crisscross your ankles in one direction, and then the other, of course, we muscle test to see which direction. And then you just repeat the statement over and over until it sinks in, because your wrists and your ankles are the electrical part of your body that connect to subconscious. So while sitting in that direction, it helps to, you know, go deep into that while repeating whatever it is you want to repeat. And then, of course, there's a Back to the Future, which is really long to explain. But a lot of times that one comes in, too. And you love that one, Valerie, don't you?
Well, I do, because I'm, you know, when I get tested for things to see if I'm visual, auditory, or kinesthetic, I'm equal on all three.
Yep.
So I do, my best learning is done with all three things. And
people are like that. It's either one or two, you know, rarely three. And this actually hits on all three. So you see it, you hear it, and you feel it, the change.
Oh, yeah, and I get that all the time anyway. So for me, that's easy. And, you know, what I love about it, Laura, is that you feel that freedom within yourself as soon as you've finished it, even before you lock it in. You feel that freedom within yourself, and I can't wait to see what happens next, because I have bumped up against that glass ceiling my entire life and been so frustrated and said, what do I have to do to clear these blockages? And, I mean, I've had people that said that they could clear the blockages. I've had, you know, techniques to learn how to clear my own blockages. I'm constantly doing clearing and cleansing and all kinds of stuff. And so, you know, you get to this age and you go, okay, look, universe, enough, okay? Show me the way to get off this freaking treadmill, you know, because I have just had enough. And so it was quite interesting to me, because I was at that stage. I was totally disgusted. It's like, look, I've had so many things happen to me physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's like, okay, the next big one that comes along, maybe I'll just leave, because, you know, I'm tired. It's been too much for too long. And, you know, why do I have to keep showing that I can survive things that would kill 99% of the people on the planet? What the hell's up with that? And
we'll definitely get to that.
Yeah, so you know, working on this stuff today, it was like, wow, no, isn't that interesting? Because, I mean, now from an adult standpoint, I can look at it and say, well, of course our consciousness goes on. I know that. I've been near death six times. I've been out in the cosmos. I've had my guardian angels or jailers or whatever you want to call them, you know, the beings that are with you the whole time you're here. Nobody's left alone. I've had them speak to me right out of the ethers, and, you know, I've seen amazing, miraculous things, and I've experienced all kinds of stuff that a lot of people only read about. So I've been blessed that way. But to be able to take all that knowledge and experience and look back upon what happened when I was a toddler was like, whoa, now that's interesting. Now I understand.
Right.
And so there's this release that happens on all levels of your being. And, you know, it reminds me of, I think it was about the second time we worked together, and you tested me to see if I felt safe in my body, and it was no. It's like, I have never felt safe in my entire life.
Well, that's because something like this happened to you at such a young age.
Exactly. Yeah.
And how are you going to understand it at that age? You don't have the capabilities to understand what happened.
Right.
And then
exactly.
In this balance, all this understanding came in, and mm-hmm. you were able to let it go then. It must have felt incredible. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I was so sleepy right afterwards, and I was trying to go to sleep, but my cat, otherwise known as the snooze alarm, kept going off, you know, every so many seconds going, rrr, rrr. I was like, oh my God, you know, I need to sleep. I got to integrate this stuff. And it was really interesting, though, to feel that way, because it came on me immediately. It was such a relief to let go of that trauma that I was like, I went into total relaxation instantly. I was having a hard time keeping my eyes open.
And that's what happens when you work with letting go and forgiveness, because especially, you know, you have all this fear and it's in your muscles and it's making you tense. And if there's anger, there's, you know, that's in your muscles and it's making you tense, and you're always on guard and you're fright or flighting left and right. And when you release something like this, you felt like a hunk of jello, didn't you? It's like it came out of your muscles, it came out of your whole body, just comes out. So you feel so relaxed and sometimes sleepy. When I work with forgiveness and letting go, a lot of my clients said, oh, I'm tired. And I said, honor it. If you need, lay down, lay down. It takes 72 hours to fully integrate. You may be a little tired today, but tomorrow you'll be fine. You'll be energetic. You'll feel fantastic. And you'll just feel better within the 72 hours. And then when we get to the good stuff, like, I love and accept myself. I'm a dynamic, intelligent woman. I deserve the best that love and life have to offer. When we get to the good stuff, that you don't feel tired. You just feel energetic, amazing, like you're ready to conquer the world. And it feels really good. Some people, they actually look different when they leave my office.
Oh, I'm sure.
They look younger. They look brighter, you know, especially when they let go of all this old stuff. And then we put all this good stuff in, and it's like, look in the mirror. And they're like, oh, my gosh. So it's definitely, you know, your emotions, your everything is so connected with your body. It even shows on your face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm very much looking forward to it, and especially of getting rid of this excess weight. Because as I've shared with you, I mean, I've been completely, you know, nothing by mouth for like a week or two at a time and gained 15 pounds. And that makes no sense. That's a miracle, but it's a miracle in the wrong direction.
Miracle in the wrong direction. I was taking jazzercise. I just liked jazzercise an awful lot. I was always dancing as a youngster, and when I found jazzercise, there was this gal in my class, and she's struggling with her weight, and she's Weight Watchers, and she tried all these different programs, and I said, come here. So I just right in the middle of class when it was over, I said to her, how do you feel about, you know, she's like, I was just listening to how she was approaching this whole weight loss thing. I've done this and I've done that, and it's you know, I just have no luck, and you have to do this and you have to do that. So I just said to her, hold out your arm, and I said, it's easy to lose weight. And she was weak. It went right down. So we did a little balance. I believe it was the New Direction one. And she repeated, it's easy for me to lose weight over and over and over till it's sunk in the subconscious mind. She lost about 45 pounds within like a couple of months. I don't even know if it was 2 months or 3 months, but every time I came to class, I'm like, you're losing weight. I lost 5 more pounds. I lost 3 more pounds. And, you know, she was doing Weight Watchers, but she wasn't losing any before.
Yeah.
And now all this weight started falling. See, that's what I mean. Just removing that little belief that, oh, it's impossible for me to lose weight, to it's easy to lose weight. And then she just started losing weight very easily. So something as simple as that, your belief system around the weight. See, I never believed that, you know, I always believed I could lose weight easily. So I never really gained weight because if I gained 5 pounds, I'd be like, oops, time to lose those 5 pounds, and then they just came right off. You know,
well,
now,
see, this is another thing.
I walked around the block a few more times. You know, it wasn't an issue, but some people have this real stigma with weight and how it's, you know, you have to go on this diet plan, you have to take pills, you have to, and they get sucked in to all these weight-losing techniques when it's in here, your mind, it's in your belief system. And that's
well, I don't know about other people, but my parents were always telling us it was so hard to lose weight. And
there you
I mean,
go.
I can remember my mother putting me on the Metrical diet when I was 15.
There you go.
And I was really athletic, so I mean, I wasn't sitting around. You know, I was totally busy all the time and playing tennis. And I had a 3 mile walk. We lived on the top of this 7% grade hill. And so it was a pretty hairy walk, and I had a 3 mile walk to get down to the school, another 3 mile walk to get back up. And sometimes I would do that twice a day. And I mean, not just one trip, but I mean, two round trips a day. And I would go down and I would play tennis and then I'd walk back up the hill. And, you know, that was insane. I didn't eat enough to burn up that many calories. And yet I had a problem with weight because my parents taught me that that's the way it was. And so I'm very much looking forward to the time when we can get rid of all this baggage and, you know, get on to the losing the weight thing. But I'm not losing it. I don't want to lose it because I don't want to find it again. What I want to do is transmute it into good vibes that go out into the universe and bring me all kinds of amazing, wonderful things.
Whatever feels good will work with that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I like customizing it because people say things differently. You know, a man will come into my office and he'll be like, well, you know, I want to work on prosperity. Okay. Well, describe prosperity. What does it look like to you? Because it could be so many different things. Well,
sure.
I want $10,000 in my checking account. Okay. So we balance for that. Other people, especially in Sedona, oh, I want all the planets to align and bring me prosperity and this and that. So you kind of have to customize it to the person. And the best statements come from the individual. I will throw out a suggestion, but then we tweak it to how it resonates with them. And then because it's most successful that way, you know, and if
absolutely.
Some people need to forgive someone for being a, you know, effing so-and-so, hey, if that's what's resonating with you, we balance for that, you know, and it's very customized. There's no cookie cutter. You know, when you learn the technique at the basic, they give you sheets, and some people work off the sheets. But the best way to really heal a person is to talk to the person, find out how they were brought up, what their parents said to them, because between the ages 1 and 5, 8 is when all these beliefs get programmed into your subconscious mind. Why can't you be like your sister? Money doesn't grow on trees. You have to work hard to make a living. All these programs get put into our subconscious mind. They stay there until we take them out.
Yep.
And so some people have to, they work really super hard to just scrape by. So we do balances that are the complete opposite. It's easy to make lots of money doing what I love to do. How many times were you told not to be an artist because they don't make any money? You have to be a nurse. Then they go into being a nurse. They're a nurse for 40 years. They get totally burnt out. They have health issues. And what they really, truly wanted to do was be an artist. But their parents said they'd never make money being an artist. So I work with artists, and they become very successful. I work with writers. I had a gal, this is on my website, she as a testimonial. She was a starving poet, and she came, and I worked with her, and now she's getting awards for her poetry. She's getting
awesome.
Inducted to all these best new poets in whatever the year it was, 2010 or 11, and she's making great money writing poetry. And just remove that programming. And so I'll ask, well, what was your childhood like? What did your parents say? You know, what was their view on money? What was their view on health? You know, my mother, you suffer your whole life and then you die.
the whole life gets hard and you die. Hey, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so would you give out your contact information, your website, and all that stuff?
Sure. My website is positiveperception.net. There's no commas or anything. It's just positiveperception.net. My phone number is 928-301-2043. I have clients all over the United States and Argentina, Chile, Italy, because I do Skype as well as phone sessions. And there's also, if you want to learn more about Psyche, you could go to Psyche.com. It was originated by Rob Williams, M.A., begun in 1988. And like, you know, many modalities, it's a blend of various tools for change, some contemporary, some ancient, and it was a result of a series of intuitive leaps generated by years of research and thousands of sessions with individuals and groups, so that it was tested over and over and over before it was put out mainstream. And Rob Williams is a psychologist himself, and he, you know, through these intuitive leaps, came up with this and did a lot of research. And now it's taught, and you could take workshops, and there's facilitators. So I'm a preferred affiliate. So if you go to Psyche.com, you'll see me as a preferred affiliate, because they just don't honor anybody with that title. You have to really, Rob has very, very high standards. Because a lot of people will just take the first course, the basic, and then they start charging.
Okay, well, we're going to have to run. So thank you so much for being on the show. It's wonderful information, and I hope the listeners will give you a call. And listeners, we have been talking with Laura Langstrand about Psych-K, and if you haven't tried it yet, you might want to give her a call, because she is pretty amazing. And and Laura, I just really enjoy working with you and having you on the show. And we have to give our sponsor ID now, and our sponsors are starlights.com, that's starlights.com, for New Age products, and alternativecancer.us for all kinds of information about how to prevent and deal with cancers. And there's many support things there, different links and things to groups that can help you. So please do check them out. And as always, until next week, be happy. Be healthy and be who you really are. Nighty night.